Welcome to Automating Your License Compliance Policy with OSS Review Toolkit. My name is Thomas Steenbergen. I'm the head of open source for Yield Technologies, and we use OSS Review Toolkit, aka OART, for all of our fast reviews. So here I included an example conversation between a legal counsel and an engineer doing a fast review. And I believe you can translate such a conversation to a high level, okay, not okay to use open source rule with three components. The code context, the legal context, and the product context. The code context is all about the findings, where were they in the code, and what is the purpose of that piece of code. Is it found in the source code that goes on the release artifact, or is it found for in test code that's only used internally? How is it linked? So that's just one aspect of basically the rules. Next aspect is the legal context. So for the licenses and patent found, what are the obligations that apply? So usually this is determined by your legal counsel or your legal team, and not by the engineer. And finally, the product context, which is usually handled by a product owner, is what are we doing? Are we, for instance, is it a service that is being built or an SDK? Those two have a different risk profile and a different cost profile if something goes wrong. So if, for instance, in a RESTful API service, if something goes wrong, you can just fix it in the backend. There's usually no need to inform customers. Well, if you ship something to a customer and say an SDK, and that SDK is integrated by your customers in their products, you have to, and there is an issue, you have to make release notes, you have to make informed all of the customers. It might involve a recall, it might involve a contractual penalty. So you really want to have that kind of information when you write your policy, so you know exactly what is the risk level that you're dealing with, and that may determine whether you make an issue, for instance, an error, say a must fix issue, or say a warning, basically say like, yeah, just be aware of the issue, but you have some more time to fix this. So let's see how this is translated into OART in the various OART components. I'll quickly go over this because I'll show in the next slides each component in more detail. But basically, the OART YAML file is what lives locally in the code repository. This is usually managed by the engineer, while the legal context and product context usually live in your OART configuration files, which are managed by your OART administrator and created together with your legal team and your basically larger engineering organization. Okay, let's look at the OART YAML file. Again, this is used to define the code context. So you can see basically developer can indicate directories that are used for testing, and you can also do scopes indicate for testing, but you can also indicate, for instance, examples, documentation. You can really separate out, this is code that basically is only used basically by the development team and doesn't end up into our release artifacts. You can also fix license findings. So this allows the developer to quickly fix false positives in the scanner. Now you might be worried about this, that basically we can empower developers to do this. Yeah, but we do this in a transparent way. So whenever report includes the OART YAML file, so you can always see if a developer has used basically license findings creations to fix things. Okay, let's look at the license context. It's very simple. This is managed in the license classification file. Basically, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of licenses out there. What this file basically allows you to do to basically take the SPX identifier for a particular license and match it to a particular category so that we can later write basically rules on top of each category. Then let's look at the next bit of the license context, which is the curation file. The curation file allows you to patch any type of metadata. For instance, here you see that allows you to conclude the license for this Ramada package here. Basically, it concluded license is SPX peak for basically I manually reviewed this package and I hereby say that this is the effective license. You can also basically overwrite the declared license for packages. Again, it depends whether you want to write rules on the detected license or declared. It's your choice. So here you can see that basically this for the Parameter workflow package, the license was declared license was is a really long string with a URL in it, and here it's mapped to an SPX identifier, so it can be used in the policy engine to write rules upon. Now let's look in the product context. That is basically very simply passed as labels to ORT. So here, for instance, I give an example where I basically say you can make up your own labels, but just for example purposes, I say project is completely proprietary, so it means this is proprietary software. That this is external, meaning outside of the company, and this is made by our typical organization in Boston. And here you can see all kinds of internal identifiers, like your review ID, your product ID, the jar. You can really go as wild as you want, and you can write rules on whatever you please. So next, let's look at the actual policy, which is managed in the rules.kts file. In ORT, you can write rules on pretty much all data that ORT captures, whether this is package metadata, various types of licenses, labels, and also soon security vulnerabilities. Really, we want to give you the maximum freedom to write a policy that fits for your organization. So that's why the rules are written in Kotlin script. So this allows you to use all of the power of pretty much Kotlin to write rules that fits your needs. Okay, let's see how an actual rules file looks like. This is usually the top of the file, where basically it's very simple. Remember this classifications, license classification file, we simply need to import each category and assign it to a particular variable. Next, I'll show you that we have different rule types. So we have, for instance, a package rule, a dependency rule, and a license rule. The first time the package rule is executed for each found package, the dependency rule is found for each dependency. So if a dependency is multiple times in the tree, it will be executed multiple times. And finally, you can write a license rule, which is executed within a package rule or dependency rule for each license in a particular set of licenses that you can specify. So you can write rules, for instance, on the concluded license, the declared licenses, or the detected license, or a combination of all three. Let's look at an example of a license rule. So just to make sure that the policy is readable by not only engineers, but also by your legal counsels and your product managers, basically we usually make helper functions. So usually we call this license rule helper function. So here you can see simply that we basically say the isCopyleft function basically tests if a particular given license is in the category copyleft, and the same you see it for copyleft limited. Again, simple helper functions, but you'll see what I mean in the next example, where I actually have an example of a package rule. So here you see a package rule, which usually has three components. One is the requirement statement that basically says one, this rule is triggered. Next, you have one or more license rules. And finally, we usually have the messaging block where you can throw an error warning or a hint to the end user. So let's look in a little bit more detail. So here you see the requirement statement says minus excluded. This basically means, hey, do not trigger this rule if in the OrgYAML file this package was excluded. So basically, on say in our example OrgYAML file, the test scope, remember, was excluded. So it basically says if a package has scope test, then this rule will not be executed because, remember, it was excluded. Then here you see the labels contained operator. So this again connects to our product context. So this rule is only executed if the label contains company proprietary, so project with value company proprietary. Then we see the license rule here. So here you see that this license rule is executed on first concluded licenses if they are set for a package, and otherwise look at the declared and the detected licenses. And then there's another require block. So again, it says minus excluded. You're like, hang on, there's an excluded, is excluded and excluded here. Yeah, this excluded, this is on package. This is on excluded licenses, because again, you can also exclude licenses basically specific. So here you exclude an entire package. If you exclude a single license. And here you see this is copyleft, this helper function that I had in the previous slide. Again, this makes sure that the policy is nicely readable. And here you see the final an error statement, which is basically is always contains a message bit. The first line is always the message. The first argument is always a message statement, and the second